talking about changes is very popular these days. A prime minister, someone is running to be a prime minister and he promises changes. Someone is running to be the president of a country. He promises or she promises changes. Medications or perfume or whatever, they all say your life will change. And I was thinking about examples that I can remember of total changes in someone's life. And this morning, sitting right here, I remember the family that came to our church from the old country a long time ago. And they gave their testimonies, husband and wife. The husband one day stood up there in our church and shared his testimony. And his wife agreed that that was the truth. This lady accepted the Lord long time ago and surrendered her life completely to God. And so she started living a life that was different now, changed life. And she then had a Bible study with women in her own home. And women would come in and they would be reading the Bible and the husband would come in and just create a big problem, take the Bibles, tear them apart and throw them away. And he was really terrible. But these women never gave up. His wife never gave up. They prayed. And one day, his life changed completely. And he became just like a lamb. And when you'd meet him, we only met him when he was changed, the new person. And he was like a lamb, very nice, sweet man. Thinking of this man, then I remembered my grandfather, who was from the old country, who had fought as a gorilla, and his attitude was one that was hard. He'd be drinking sometimes and he would be getting angry and he would be abusing my grandma and I as a little boy. I would really be falling apart seeing my grandma being abused. And we prayed, and I remember my mother praying for her father all the time. And my mother gave him a Bible and he started reading the book of Psalms and read and read. Eventually, one day he surrendered his life to the Lord and he became a lamb. He changed completely, 100%. He wasn't the same man again. And these are examples that I know for sure. But there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of other examples of men and women who have changed completely and became different persons. In his book on repentance, Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik speaks about the tremendous pull that makes us want to change our lives for the better. When we act in ways that don't reflect do not reflect our inner desires, who deeply want to be, we feel like exiles, shut out of our home, separated from our family, alienated from our true selves. And there is this deep desire, the pain, that we know that what we are is not what we want to be. And yet, we find it difficult, absolutely difficult, or impossible to change. There are people who believe that people don't ever really change. And some say that even God cannot change some of them. But I have witnessed people who have experienced complete transformation in their lives. The impossible became possible when they allowed themselves to become like clay in the potter's hand. God speaking to Jeremiah and through him to those in Judah And Jerusalem said, if you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. And then God spoke again to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 18, 1 to 6, we read, and this starts this way. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. I know we read it before, but I would like this to be repeated. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Why did God tell Jeremiah to go to the potter's house? Because God wanted him to see the potter at work forming a pot. The scene gave a powerful message for Jeremiah's time and ours today. The potter's table as something that we all must be placed on to be reformed. And that is one of the reasons why I wrote my book, or at least I gave the title, God's Workshop. And when it was being translated in Armenian, we had to sort of work on it for about a week or so, just trying to find the appropriate name for it. So we finally decided to leave it the way it is, God's Workshop. That is what God does. God fixes, mends, reforms, changes lives like the potter does to a lump of clay. The process of molding involves action that can be seen almost violent at times. The potter must put some force, pressure upon the clay if it is to become what the potter's vision is about this lump of clay. A lump of clay is useless until the potter works on it. And this reminds me of my grandfather's factory. He used to make bricks. They used to make bricks. And then they started making all kinds of pots and flower pots and things. And I would watch, like, as a little boy, how the potter would take a lump of clay and just throw it on that turning little table. And he would force it down so he would be able to work on it. The verse 4, or in verse 4 we read, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so the potter formed it into another pot. Very often, we resist God's work on us. Very often, God intends us to be, his intention is for us to become a kind of a pot that would be useful and fruitful, and yet we resist, we don't want to let go, and then we sort of don't please God, just like this pot that was marred, and the potter started all over again. And then God starts all over again with us because he wants to make something useful out of us. That is the picture of all of us. We all need a lot of work. We have imperfections. We need to be reshaped, remolded, changed. In fact, the Christian life is a life of transformation and change. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I believe that Joseph, I am a lump of clay without His intervention in my life. I believe that I and you are not useful unless you become something useful. And the only way to change from uselessness to usefulness is when someone works on that. And we believe that God, our Creator, knows best what our needs are. But there is a difference between the clay or the potter or potter's table and a person on God's table. And let me explain. Some people may say, well, it's not my fault then. It is not my fault that God did not shape me well. It is not my fault that I'm not useful. It is not my fault that I don't speak well. It is not my fault that I have these tendencies in life. I was born this way. Well, that would be true if you had no say at all on your own. But let me just explain. The clay that a human potter works on has no way of responding to the potter's call or placing itself on the potter's table and mercy to be changed. There is no way that the clay will get up, get on that table and ask the potter to shape him. No, clay cannot do that. Just like the lost silver, we have the example Jesus gave a parable. He gave the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, or the prodigal son. And just like that example, we can see here the results of having a free will, if you wish. Just like the lost silver coin of the woman in the parable Jesus gave of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost prodigal, the silver coin could not respond to the calls of the woman, and so this woman searched and found it. In a similar way, the potter brings the clay and puts it on the table to start work, the work of transformation. But now, the prodigal son's example, that was one parable. Not three parables, one parable with three different situations, scenarios, if you wish. One was the coin that was lost. The coin had no free will, had no voice, could not say, I'm here, please find me, get me. And then you had the sheep, the lost sheep, which had something to do with his recovery or restoration. And then you have the prodigal son. Now, the prodigal son had a choice. He could say where he was, feeding and living with the pigs, or he could return to his father's house. Now, someone here doesn't know the story of the prodigal son. But the truth of the matter is today, in our world, there are prodigal sons everywhere. People who have left their home, sons and daughters who have run away, married men and women who may live with their spouse and yet they are prodigal sons because they ran away from their responsibilities. Excuse me. And they are feeding with the food that pigs eat in our example. Meaning the little pleasures, the little crumbs, if you wish, the little leftover of pleasures that the world gives. But they have a free will. Isaiah wrote, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. He is the potter. We are the work of His hand. God is the potter. We are the clay. And God, the potter, is waiting to see and hear the willingness of the clay, us, to be molded and transformed to precious vessels. God has a plan for everyone who repents, who responds. First part of that plan is salvation. We come to Him as a lump of clay, ready to be transformed. I've heard people who say, well, me, it's over. No one can change me. Even God doesn't want me. I've been thrown away. I don't know anyone who really cares whether I die or live. I don't know anyone who really cares to see me change. And yet, the potter is there, ready to reshape him and change him. Then, to be able to see the master's plan for us, we need to fully surrender our own selfish plans to the master potter. And as the clay sits on the potter's table to be molded and transformed without complaining or arguing with the potter, so should we be, while God is shaping us into the individual vessels that He wants us to become, and not tell Him what and how and who should do the molding. Spurgeon said, "We are literally clay in the potter's hand. This is and should be a humbling thought. However, we often think of ourselves as much more than ordinary clay. In fact, sometimes we don't even think of ourselves as clay at all. Instead, we see ourselves more in the role of the potter and the clay." And you see it all the time. You hear it all the time from pulpits and on the radio and television, preachers and teachers and Christians telling God to do what to do and how to do it. I've heard people praying and telling God how to change them. And I hear people to say, oh, please deal with my wife or husband and make her or him do this. And if you do this, and God is already has turned off the switch and is not listening because you telling God, the master, what to do. It's like going to a shop, repair shop, and telling the mechanic exactly what to do, how to do it, and what kind of force to use. And then the mechanic should usually turns around and says, well, if you know so much, you do it yourself. And because of our attitude, that is almost insulting to God. God sometimes just walks away until we wake up. We're not like the coin without any voice. We're not even like the sheep with some voice, and yet we cannot help ourselves. We are like the prodigal son who have walked away from God completely because we want this and that, just like with the prodigal son. The prodigal son did not like the discipline at home. He did not like the purity at home. He wanted to have some entertainment. He wanted to have some pleasure with what the world offers. Drinking, drugs, women, whatever his desires were fulfilled for a short period of time. And yet, he ended up eating what the pigs were eating and living with the pigs. And he really realized at a given moment that he needed to change completely. And he came back home. And he then asked his father for forgiveness. And I believe that that's what the reformation or change or metamorphosis means, to become someone else. We read in the New Testament when Jesus was going into a city, into Gadara, the Gadarean man who was tied down with chains and lived in in the tombs among the dead, and he was so dangerous that they would chain him down. And when Jesus went by and Jesus talked to him, and when he surrendered his anger and his bad habits to Jesus, he became a brand new man. That's what a metamorphosis is. That's what transformation is. And I believe that anyone can change. The worst criminal, the filthiest sinner can become holy and clean. Some people laugh. Some people say, well, you hear in the news that pedophiles or these files or those and the others and the criminals can never be reformed. I believe that God can reform every one of us. God can choose to mold us to something other than what expected or we wanted. As the potter works on the clay and sees how the clay responds, he continues molding and transforming it to a special and useful vessel. Now the potter uses pressure, water, and heat. Pressure to mold and reshape that clay. I don't know if you ever seen how they create those pots. He puts that piece of clay on that turning table, and then he puts his fingers like that and pushes down and down, and the fingers make a hole, and this other, the outer fingers protect it from falling apart. And then you see he more pressure, bigger it becomes, and then he starts manipulating it and shaping it, and at the end you see a beautiful pot. It takes pressure to mold and reshape the clay, water to soften it and make it pliable, heat to make it stronger. Now, the pot without going into the oven, it's useless, it will break. When pressure is applied on the clay by the potter, his steady hands are protecting it and shaping the clay. When you are experiencing pressure and problems and you think you are about to break down into little pieces, just remember that the master's hand, steady hand, are on your perfecting and are perfecting you. The potter uses water to make the clay more flexible and obedient to his will, to do his will, and to become as he planned it to be. When the transformation has taken place and the clay now is a precious vessel, the potter puts it in the kiln, that is the furnace, to make it strong and less fragile. So it is with the believers. We become strong and stronger when the heat is turned up on us. I would like to close with the words of a chorus by Espinoza Eddy. And the words are, and I believe we'll sing it, "Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for caring so much about each one of us. There isn't one person on this earth that you don't love. And yet, many, the majority of people have rejected you, have turned their backs to you, and you still love each one of us. And yet there will be a time, a day, when we will have to stand before the judgment throne, Lord. And that's when will be the time for us to realize that we have not changed. Not because you didn't want us to change, it's because we didn't want to surrender our will and life to you to become what you wanted us to be. Bless each one of us this morning, touch each one of us, and strengthen our faith. In your blessed name I pray, amen.